Braves got. Can the volume be turned up on this? I can understand why you turned Vonna off, but I don't understand why you turned me off. Just a joke, Vonna. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Lift your hands and worship the Lord, would you? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Praise God. We need more volume on this mic, Brother Johnson. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Praise God. Praise God. We are so very fortunate to have with us, real often, Brother and Sister Putnam and Brother Putnam's mother, Sister Alice. But we also are even more fortunate that he comes by and preaches often for us. I think the first weekend of March, he preached for us, did a superb job. And Brother Putnam, you may not be a member of our church, but we claim you anyway. And we are just so thrilled that our district superintendent, Brother John Putnam, is bringing us the word of the Lord. Give him a great warm welcome, would you? God bless you, Brother Putnam.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord on a Wednesday evening. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord on any evening. It's just good to be a part of the kingdom of God. Amen. Praise God. And that's what I get for getting in trouble today. I called your pastor, knew we were coming up here this evening for service, and I said, hey, how would you like to get together for dinner this evening before service? Before it was all over with, I was preaching, and he bought my dinner. So I thought that was a pretty good deal. Thank you, Brother Grant. Good to see everybody. Hope everybody's happy and joyful and exceedingly grateful for Jesus Christ. Amen. And been seeing these signs around the country that the Lord's coming back this Saturday. I know one couple that's praying that that not happen. You know, when will people understand? I mean, Jesus could come back anytime. He could come back before this is over with this evening. But when will people understand that no man knoweth the day nor the hour? I mean, that's the word of our Lord. And it's forever settled in glory. And heaven may pass and earth may pass, but that word's already sealed. The thing is that we just be ready. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, just be ready. Amen. Praise God. Well, it's always good to be a Calvary Gospel Church, and it's always an honor to stand behind this pulpit. And I hope that tonight will be a blessing to all of you. So we're going to plan on preaching tonight. Is that okay? If you have your Bibles, or if you can look at the... Now, I'm not going to keep looking behind me. I understand the back screen tonight is not working properly. So I don't have anything to look at there to reference that things are being caught up with. So if you just follow along with me. But if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And also 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And then if you've got another finger, Hebrews chapter 3. In the ninth verse of the third chapter, 1 Corinthians, Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and he says, "For we are laborers." Everybody say laborers. Now, that's workers. Those are servants. And Paul says to the church at Corinth, "We are laborers." And then the next word, say together. Together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. Verse 16 of that same chapter says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God?" and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. How many of you know that the Spirit of God is in you? My friend, what an awesome gift the Holy Ghost is. To think that the creator of this world, the creator of everything that we can see in the natural, amen, that creator dwells within his own creation. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19, familiar scripture, starts with the question, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Turn to somebody and say, somebody else owns this. Verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Everything that we have, everything that we are, everything that we ever will be, belongs to Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4. For every house is builded by some man. But he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. I thank God to be a part of the body of Christ. Amen. Greatest things ever happened to me. I thank God to be in the church. And this is only a part of the church. There is only one church. And that church is worldwide. And I want to speak to you tonight or teach tonight on being a pillar of the assembly. Would you say that with me? Being a pillar of the assembly. Put your Bibles down. Would you just lift up your hands? Amen. And let's just ask God to help us tonight, huh? Lord, we love you, Jesus. Lord, I know, God, how much I need you, Lord, every day. And Lord, I pray, God, for your will and your unction here tonight. I pray, God, that you would work through my mind and my spirit tonight and my lips. And I just pray, God, that you would have your way. I pray for your results. I pray that each of us, God, would understand, dear Lord Jesus, really, Lord God, what you want from our lives. And I'm asking, God, help us, God, to do, Lord Jesus, your will. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, I don't know if you've traveled much throughout the world, but we've had a privilege of traveling to a few countries. But I believe personally, and I might be very prejudiced in this, but I believe that our national capital of Washington, D.C. is one of the most beautiful on earth. With the White House, the Capitol building, the Lincoln Memorial, the Jefferson Memorial, and right in the center of the mall area, stands the Washington Monument. Now, I don't believe the city architect just happened to plan the mall area to form a cross. But if you look from the air, the Lincoln Memorial being the top of the cross, and the Jefferson Memorial pointing to the left side, and the White House to the right side, and our Capitol building at the bottom, there is no doubt about it from an aerial view in that mall area, it forms the shape of a cross, the very symbol that represents what America was founded about. Amen. I don't believe this just happened by chance. I believe it was planned that way. And may I remind all of us that this nation was and is founded upon the belief of one nation under God. And right in the center of the plan stands the marble obelisk, the monument erected to the memory of our very first president, George Washington. It was finished in 1888, rising 555 feet, 5 1/2 inches tall, with a pyramid-shaped capstone at its top that is approximately 13 inches tall, with two Latin words inscribed on the east side of those 13 inches of aluminum that says in Greek, Laus, or Latin, it says Laus Deo. Two words. You'll never read it. I'll never read it. Nobody can read it. But it's there. Matter of fact, some atheists want it to be taken off of the monument. Because Laus Deo means praise be unto God. It's there, folks. But nobody can see it but God alone. And to God alone be all the praise, the glory, and the honor. Now, I believe one cannot read the Bible without coming away saying and understanding that our Heavenly Father is in the building business. And His building projects are not by mere coincidence as our capital area, but they are by divine design. The Almighty has been building since the beginning of time. The first 5 days of creation were spoken into existence by His Word. And on the sixth day, the Word declares that He formed, everybody say formed, Adam from the dust of the ground. Thus man was personally built by God Himself. And He made Adam in the image and the likeness of God. Our text states in Hebrews 3 and 4, for every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things, everybody say all things, is God. Throughout Scripture, we find the Lord in the building business. Matter of fact, to the very extent that Jesus Himself, according to Mark's Gospel, was identified as a carpenter. Mark 6 and 3, is not this, speaking of Jesus, is that this, the carpenter, the son of Mary? God gave the building plans all throughout Scripture for the ark that provided safety for Noah and his family. He gave Moses the plans for the tabernacle in the wilderness. Precise instructions were to be obeyed. The outer court, the brazen altar, the holy place, the table of showbread, the golden candlestick, the altar of incense, the veil that separated the holy from the holy of holies, and the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat. It was a plan whereby man could approach God. And the next building project that we read about by divine design was Solomon's temple. In 2 Chronicles 2 and 1, it says, and Solomon determined to build a house for the name of the Lord, and a house for His kingdom. In the third chapter of that same book, 2 Chronicles, in the third verse, it said, now these are the things wherein Solomon was instructed for the building of the house of God. Where did he get that instruction? He didn't get it from an architect, per se, of human nature. He got it from on high, from the design of God. And King Solomon proceeded in building a true wonder of the world. designed by the Almighty and built by His servant. A temple patterned after the tabernacle in the wilderness, fashioned and built with glory and majesty galore. And on the inside, it was one of outstanding beauty. And on the outside, God had Solomon grace the entrance of this temple with two pillars. 1 Kings chapter 7 and verse 13 says, "And King Solomon sent and fetched Hiram out of Tyre. He was a widow's son of the tribe of Naphtali, and his father was a man of Tyre, a worker in brass, and he was filled with wisdom and understanding and cunning work to all works in brass. And he came to King Solomon and wrought all his work, for he cast two pillars of brass, of 18 cubits high apiece, and a line of 12 cubits did compass either them about." Now these pillars, folks, stood 27 feet tall and were 6 feet in width, with an 8-foot capstone on the top of each one, ornately ordained and adorned for all to see and to behold. These pillars were made of brass. Everybody say brass. Now, I don't have time to go through the whole scripture to prove this all to you, but there are three precious metals in the Bible of brass and silver and gold. Each have a representation. Brass in the Bible is always talked about judgment. Matter of fact, if you'll read specifically when Samson was captured by the Philistines, it was brass handcuffs or brass things that wrapped his wrists that held him. It represents judgment. And then silver represents royalty. And gold, of course, then represents deity. But these pillars standing on the outside of the temple were made of brass. Amen. And the scripture states in 2 Chronicles 3 and 17, "And he reared up the pillars before the temple, one on the right hand and the other on the left, and called the name of that on the right hand Jachin, and the name of that on the left Boaz." We got through the first part of the lesson. So, Brother Putnam, what does that all have to do with us? Everything. Now, we know and understand that the Old Testament was our schoolmaster, correct? For the principles that would be lived out in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 10 and 11 tells us, Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now let me explain. All of what God had built in the Old Testament would be practically enacted in the New Testament church. Do we not call the church our ark of safety? Are we not very much involved in the tabernacle plan and its understanding of the new birth, of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and how we identify with it? Including this temple that's built by King Solomon. And please understand, folks, that not everybody could go inside the temple. Do you understand that? In other words, they never had an open house day. There was never a day where the common man could go inside the temple and look at the amazing beauty that was on the inside. Nothing was foreseen on the inside of that temple except by the priesthood. The gold, the cunning work, all of the veil, all of the beauty was not seen by the common man. Matter of fact, the only thing that the common man could see, if he wasn't a Levitical priest, the only thing he could see was the largeness of the building and these two pillars that were on the porch at the front of it. That's it. And these pillars that were on the front, they were very, very beautiful as far as the brass was concerned. But at the very top of the pillar, only because the walls were also quite high, it was the top of those pillars that were ornately designed by Almighty God of how they would be designed. You couldn't visualize what was going on in the inside. The only reference that they can see was their outside approach, the temple of God. Now, folks, how many of you have the Holy Ghost? How many of your neighbors, your fellow workers and everything see the Holy Ghost inside of us? You can claim it. But they can't see God because, number one, God is invisible. He is a spirit, correct? But in having the Holy Ghost, it's changed our lives, right? So what do they see? They see the outside. And it's that same sense with these pillars. God made sure that through the power of His Word in the making of these pillars, that what He had applied to the capstones in the physical building that you and I would model the representations of each of these elements in our own lives. First, the Lord had networking. Everybody say networking. Of checker work engraved all over these capstones. It was like a crisscrossing. It was the networking. It crisscrossed. Intricately done, amen, by the artificer in making this of brass. So, what does that have to do with us? Well, that networking speaks of being all one piece and coming together. It's speaking about unity. Church, if anything this world needs to see is that God's church is in unity. There's a reason why we have an organization called the United Pentecostal Church. It's because all the members of that should doctrinally believe the same thing. That you're not going from one United Pentecostal Church and go to somewhere else and they're teaching completely different things, amen, about the New Testament salvation. Folks, there is a need for us to be in unity, not only in an organization, but in the local church. We need to be in unity with the vision of your pastor, the vision of leadership, and this city and this world needs to see that we're in unity with God. Amen. Jesus prayed that we would be one. This world needs to see God's people in unity, not splintered and apart, but recognizing those of like precious faith that they are our brothers and sisters in Christ. Even in the local assembly. Now, folks, God knows that we are different people. There are so many differences in this room right now. Amen. If we really knew everybody intricately, probably none of us would talk to one another. But the bottom line is, we all come under the veil of Jesus Christ. He is our Father. We carry His name. We have His Spirit. And so on the outside of us, it shows that we are in Holy Ghost Christian love with one another. Amen. We don't backbite about each other. We don't talk about each other in a negative vein. We should be uplifting, encouraging, and strengthening one another, and especially in this world. Amen. I tell you, praise God. Brother Thomas, come up here. We're at the mall. We're at the mall right now. Hi. I don't think so. Huh? I don't think so. Hey, Brother Thomas, how are you? Now we don't make a Hollywood production out of it, but you know what? I am not afraid, even in our age, to hug my brother's neck and to let him know that I identify with his spirit. Praise God. We need to show that to a world that is lost. Amen. That doesn't understand, you know, what everything is about inside the church. Behold, Psalm 133 says, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head. I don't have time to go into the apothecary making of that anointing oil, but it had five substances, and all of those substances could stand alone on their own. But God chose to blend them together, just like all of us. We all have different personalities, but God chooses to blend us together, that we are one whole. In the church of the living God. It is like precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there, everybody say, for there. Say it again. The Lord commanded the blessing, even life. You want blessings continued on Calvary Gospel Church? Then be in unity with one another. You're my brother. You're my sister. Walking hand in hand. The world needs to see Christ's church in unity. Secondly, on those pillars, there was not only just the unity, that was the base. And folks, that is the base of every revival, is unity in the Spirit. Second, around the top of those capstones, those capiters, were wreaths of chain work. The significance here is, again, what it represents. In our day, wreaths were coming up on Memorial Day. Wreaths usually are associated with death. Hello. They will blanket cemeteries out of respect for the departed. We find them displayed all over those cemeteries. And you will find flowered wreaths honoring the departed. But in Bible days, the wreath represented victory. It was a laurel wreath that they would place on the head of the victor in any given race. And the world church today needs to see God's people as a victorious people. Hey, if you're constantly in the doldrums like the rest of the world, and sure, there is a lot to be depressed about today. But my friend, my Bible tells me that we need to look up. We need to look up. We're still believing that He's our provider. We're still believing that He's our healer. We're still believing that He is our sustainer. We need to look up. Not moaning and groaning and criticizing and complaining, but a people that are happy. Do you realize we're still serving the same God of the $4 a gallon gasoline as we were serving when it was 23 cents a gallon? A people that know what the world... We let the people of this world know that for the church. This world is not our home. We're just traveling through. We're happy because we know that we have a home laid up for us beyond the blue. And if you notice on the chapter in the Bible there in 2 Chronicles, it was a chain work of 7 wreaths to each capstone. They were chained together all around the capstone. 7, of course, being the number of perfection and completion, and connected representing the church going from victory to victory. Hallelujah. God wants us to be in victory. Amen. Now, you know, I thank God here at Calvary Gospel Church that people are getting the Holy Ghost all the time. Amen. You know that. Don't ever take that for granted, my friend. Because in some places, even in some of our own churches here in Wisconsin, that's not always happening. And the only reason that it's not happening is because we don't believe that it will happen. I hope that none of you come to church going, oh, bless God, it's Wednesday again. And we got to go to church because you know that if we don't go, then somebody will miss us. And that should never be our intent. We should come in, praise God. Amen. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Amen. We should come in the house of God with a sense of victory in our spirit, a bounce in our step, a praise in our lips. Amen. Because I'll tell you, if we really believe what we preach, then we know that God is able on every situation that we face. Oh, somebody needs to stand to their feet and thank God. Amen. That He's a God of victory. Hallelujah. Paul wrote it. He said, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. God wants us to be victorious. Hey, remember, folks, the only persons, this is all of what the common person could see of what was happening in that temple. I remember right after I got the Holy Ghost, I was going to Ohio University, and I was just absolutely just thrilled. I was in a class, and sometimes I'm a whistler. I can't whistle very good, but I can blow air through my lips and make some sounds. And it was, and this girl behind me tapped me on the back, and she said, "What do you want?" I turned around to her and I said, Jesus. Folks, I tell you, a smile on your face and a bounce in your step sure looks a whole lot better than, I've got the Holy Ghost and you need it. And they're going, God help me, I don't want to catch it. They need to see victory. Everybody say victory. Thirdly, upon those same capstones was 2 rows of engraved fruit of pomegranates on each one. Each row, and each capiter had 2 rows, and there was 100 pomegranates in each row. 200 pomegranates to each capiter. And these pomegranates, made of brass, intricately designed, of course, represents to us the fruit of the Spirit. That should be evident in our lives every day. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering. Say that with me. Long-suffering. Gentleness. Goodness. Faith. Meekness. Temperance. Against such, there is no law. Now, you're recognizing the representation here? More than anything else on the top of those pillars was fruit. More than the blanket of networking, more than the seven wreaths that represent completion and victory, but the fruit, love, and joy, and peace, and long suffering. Anybody still working on those things? Besides me? I know I shared this with a PI class, but when we were living in California and on a Wednesday night, it was quite hectic. Sister Putnam was teaching school. I was in the office all day, and it was time for Wednesday night Bible study in Stockton. And so inevitably, she would send me down to Burger King to get the fast food shot in the arm, for nutrition. So I pulled in there, got in the drive-through line, and I ordered our Whoppers and our fries. This particular Burger King was not always the most efficient. It was the only one we had in the neighborhood. And so I got the food and pulled up just a little bit, but I knew that I better check the bag. And sure enough, there was two Whoppers missing. What did we say we needed to have? Long. My long was not nearly as long that day. I just hit red. I don't know what it was. It just hit me the wrong way. I was in a hurry. They were messing with my time. So I pulled my car around and pulled in the parking spot, and I came with bag in hand, and I came into that Burger King, and I said, I want to see the manager. Bless his heart. Here came out this Vietnamese, or I think it was Vietnamese, or what was it? Hmong, that's what it was. Hmong, and he came out, and he was only about this tall, and I said, sir, now you need to get your ducks in line. This is about the third time that I've come through this restaurant and you've messed up the order each time. You ought to get... And the guy's going... And he got me a couple sandwiches, put them in my bag, and very justified said, thank you. Isn't that horrible? This is true confession, folks. I got back out in my car, I sat in the seat, began to put it in gear in reverse, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, what kind of witness was that? Hello. Oh, don't you hate these things? I put it back in park. Got out of the car. I wasn't walking nearly as fast this time. So I'd like to see the manager. That poor guy is kind of looking around the corner and he's going, I said, sir, I owe you an apology. I should never talk to anybody like that. Ever. Everybody say long-suffering. That happens when the light changes from red to green and the person in front of you does not move. We're talking about being Christians. I don't want to steal any thunder, but Brother Grant just told me of a true thing that happened in Tyler, Texas. This man went into a bank. Maybe you heard it on the news. He went into the bank with a pistol and a mask on, a pistol in hand. He says to the poor teller, he says to her, says, give me, fill this sack with money or I'm going to shoot you. And she was frightened to no end. This is not a joke, folks. This really happened. And she raised her hands and said, oh, God, forgive me of everything. She's thinking she's going to die right there in the sight. And she said, oh, God, forgive me, forgive me. And the robber says, well, wait a minute. Are you a Christian? She said, yes. And he said, so am I. Sorry, Brother Grant, I just stole your thunder there. We're talking about real fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. Love. Everybody say love. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering. Gentleness. Goodness. Faith. What can God not do? Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And lastly, on the very top of those capitals that would hang over in every direction would be the engraved, large-lobed flowers called lilies. Like we see at Easter, those were placed strategically at the very top. Again, these pillars and capstones were 35 feet tall. So the only way you could really get a good look at that lily work would only be from above. These represented the church's holiness to the Lord. Personal commitments to Christ in every aspect of our lives. The scripture states, be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. Matter of fact, Hebrews 12 and 14 states, follow peace with all men and holiness. Now catch this last part. Without which no man shall see the Lord. Now you can take that last phrase two ways. Without holiness, we won't see the Lord. Or without holiness, no man outside these doors shall ever see Jesus Christ. Because we are the only pillars of what people actually see. If you want to be a pillar of the assembly, would you stand to your feet? First Kings 7 and 21 says, and he set up the pillars in the porch of the temple, and he set up the right pillar and called the name thereof Jachin. Jachin means it's established. it's established. We are rooted and grounded in the truth. And the left pillar was called Boaz, which means it is strengthened. Folks, whether you and I actually end up in the rapture of the church is not going to make any difference to the real church, because the church is going out of here. It is strengthened. It is established. There is a true church. And I thank God to be a part of it. How about you? Oh, I think we can do better than that in praise and honor and thanking God. Hallelujah, Jesus. God help us, Lord. History tells us that when the sun arose in the east and the first glimpses of its rays rose over Jerusalem, the reflecting of the sun upon those two pillars was absolutely blinding. It brought attention to the place where God's forgiveness could be received. It brought attention to all of what that temple represented to Israel. And Jesus stated, Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. God's church is forever established and strong. It's settled, and this is what you and I are to show forth to a world that is in desperate need of its only Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you see just how important it is to be a pillar of the assembly? Like the Washington Monument, our life should reflect Laustio. Praise be unto God. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I ask you right now, perhaps you've been having some problems with unity. Today would be a great day to get it fixed. Perhaps you've been having problems with victory in your life. Today would be a great day to leave here with victory in your spirit. Perhaps the fruit of the Spirit has been lacking in your being. Come up here and ask God, admit your faults, and let Him give you that needed fruit. And perhaps holiness has been a troubling thing to you, both outwardly and inwardly. I'm asking you, my friend, commit what only you can commit to Almighty God. If you want prayer, come on over here to my left. If you need the Holy Ghost, come on here and right to the center. If you need healing today, come to my right. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, God, I'm nothing, Lord, but you are everything, and you build us, God. You are building this church by every individual, by block. We are living stones. And God, I pray, dear Lord Jesus, help us to be pillars. Help us to be established, rooted, and grounded. Help us to be strong in the faith. And that, God, that you, dear Lord Jesus, that people would see that we are in unity. That people would see that we are victorious. That people would see that we have the fruit of your Spirit. And that people, dear Lord God, would recognize your holiness, God, that is in us. We love you, Jesus. We ask, God, that you would be glorified here tonight.